Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Oh, that's right.
And Larson.
You're back. Son of
Hooray.
A biscuit.
All right. Anyways.
I can start earning money again.
Welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here
at
youtube.com/
Hold
on. Steve and absent.
Doesn't work that way anymore.
Absentee.
Doesn't work that way anymore.
What doesn't work anyway?
But I'm going to give you, since I'm back and I'm sure you got into a rhythm, I'm going to give you 2 minutes.
Man.
Unimpeded.
It was not.
Plug whatever you want.
It was not a rhythm. Listen. I want to give a big shout out to our sponsor yesterday, my Etsy store, the Friendo Workshop, where you can get, it's etsy.com/shop/MFSteve here. You can get, look at this comic book. Have you read this comic book?
Yeah, I have actually.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. You can buy that. I'll do a little drawing for
you. I haven't
you.
Read that one though.
Or this is all repurposed.
Yeah, no.
But it's a cool sketchbook in here. I'll do a little drawing for you if you buy that. And then look, I drew a picture of myself. Look, I should have just done this. Can we just do this the rest of the time? Me and me.
Well, that's you could have. You could have. You lost that opportunity.
Shop. Thanks for the sponsorship. Wow, what plugs did I do beyond that? That you were chuckling at?
No, that was it.
Okay.
I just wasn't expecting them.
Patreon.
That's what made it funny to me. Because I'm sitting here. I told.
No, it was mainly meant as a joke.
Okay.
But on but in addition to that, I made $300.
Exactly. So.
So I'm very happy.
Who's laughing to the bank? This
hey!
Guy.
Go. We're also available collectively at the Patreon at patreon.com.
Maybe I have an Etsy store too, and you just don't know it.
Maybe. I wish you would do something creative that isn't this. Exercise your creative muscles, not just your little wiry, shitty Burt Reynolds muscles. We're also available at Patreon, patreon.com/ Steven Larson. Look at this shirt. Look at that. Go. Yeah. Look at that shirt. $50.
That's good shirt.
That
good shirt.
$50.
It's a good shirt, though.
Oh, man.
It's exclusive. You only get it if you pay $50.
Yeah, pretty much. Then you can drop back out.
Because
you get that.
One month of $50.
You get live streaming shit, and you get...
Care package.
Care package, which is on the verge of going out to the printers. It's on the verge. I meant to send you the comic book. I just didn't do it. I'm going to send you the comic. Comic book is done, ready to go.
Cool.
Pro Wrestling Tees. Look at this. Original Fuck Wrestling shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Going In Raw logo.
Yeah,
shirt.
We've maxed out our design, so we need to sell.
We need
more,
to sell like
25 or something like that.
Yeah, but we've sold like 5 since then. We need to sell 20 more.
And once that's up, once we do that, then I can put Cold Water Larson up.
There you go. So yeah, let's get
and
to
Club
that.
Haas. Club Haas designs ready to go.
Let's get to those.
There's no space for it.
Let's get to those.
There's
levels.
Just none.
Yeah.
Before we start, Steve, I got to tell you, thank you for holding down the fort. While I was gone.
Fuck, man. It was difficult.
Letting
it was
me,
not easy. I'll tell you
me
what. I deserve thanks.
My wife, on a vacation, she's let us, me, I guess, specifically, go on a lot of wonderful wrestling-themed adventures this last year.
Yeah.
She earned a vacation.
Yeah.
So I want to say to you, thank you for doing a good job.
Podcasting right
You're
now.
You're not even paying
Can't
attention
talk.
To me.
Man, it was not easy. I'll tell you what, dude. Telling, fucking sitting here just talking. And I can't just sit here and like be on my phone the entire time.
No.
Gee willikers. Whoa.
You know, I was going to do something if the airline hadn't lost my luggage. I was going to show up.
You want to shout out that airline for losing your luggage?
No, it lost luggage happens.
You know, I can't stand when people do that. Like, oh, I've got a following on Twitter. Hey, Delta, F you, or United, F you.
Yeah, I know.
Like, come on.
Things happen.
Yeah, I know. Things happen.
There's a lot of luggage getting passed around.
If my dog died, that'd be different. You know, like, I think, like a United or something like that. Like, the dog died.
It's just, ooh, things happen.
I'd go on Twitter.
Things happen.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not going to put anybody on blast.
Sure.
But I was going to do this.
What?
When I got here, I was going to show up. I sent you a picture of a shirt I wore when I had dinner.
Oh, my God.
And it was like a coral color.
Yeah.
And it was comfortable.
It was ugly. God, that was so ugly.
It was a comfy shirt, though.
You look so ridiculous
in that shirt. I was
going
to wear that. I was going to wear my sunglasses. I was going to bring a drink over.
Oh, you should have. That'd been funny.
I know, but...
You got to do stuff for the funny.
I know, but I can't do that now because I got home this morning late.
Yeah.
And then they lost my luggage, so I didn't have the shirt.
Alex C. here in chat. Again, you guys, for $5 a month, you get access to three chats or to three live streams where you can sit in there
every
chat.
Week, not total.
Every yeah. $5 gets you three credits at chat.
Yeah.
Alex C. says, Larson is the return of the year in the Wrestling Observer End of the Year Awards. For me, he is, because, man.
I was gone, what, 3 days?
Talking way too much. I had to do like a live. And it's funny because I didn't even look at the live numbers, but our live show on Monday, there was like, I don't know, I think the peak concurrent numbers, like 1,000 people watching, and I'm just sitting here like trying to bring saliva to my mouth, talking to me.
Imagine if you had to do, I guess Monday show is kind of like Dirt Sheet.
Stevie Bradley in chat has a good question. Anybody recognize you on vacation? Anybody say?
Oh, yeah. Shout out. Ran to a guy on the flight.
Nice.
Flight there. Said hi. So, yeah.
Oh, man, that's great. Shout out to that guy.
Javier.
Oh, Javier. Nice. What did he say? What did he have an accent?
No.
Elasin.
No.
I know you. You on wrestling. Yes, Javier, I'm on wrestling. Oh, man, it's so good to have you back. I'm crying right now. Anyway, we should talk about wrestling.
Sure.
It's fucking nobody cares. 205 Live and NXT. But more happened on that 205 Live and NXT than on freaking SmackDown.
Yeah, I watched SmackDown.
And it's crazy. And people are saying, people like, okay, so I have like two sample sizes. Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer, I was looking at his newsletter, and he said, overall, a good show. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Nothing happened. And then our friend Brian Zane, on his, I think it's called Who Wore It Better, his show, where he looks at both of them, he gave SmackDown the edge. And I was like, what are you talking about? Crazy.
It wasn't a bad show, just nothing really happened.
Nothing. We're 2 weeks away from SummerSlam, and like nothing is happening.
The segment with AJ, Kevin Owens, and Shane was really good.
No, that was really good.
That was really good.
Because of Kevin Owens' line, he said, this wouldn't be the first time a McMahon screwed over a legendary Canadian, but he deserved it.
That was great.
That was amazing. Line of the freaking year. But hey, let's build a John Cena match. Baron Corbin comes out, says a couple words, and then the match is made. What is that?
Well, like you said, you only have 2 weeks until SummerSlam. They got to push things along a little bit.
I know.
If they'd stuck with the original ending of the match last week Cena was in with Nakamura,
I know.
It would have been a lot more motivation other than just some
story
trash talk.
Via action.
Yes.
That's what we need.
Yes. Let's talk about 205 Live because it was a really good show.
No, it was a really good show. Tony Nese. We were talking about theme music on yesterday's on the SmackDown show because of Baron Corbin's
that's no good.
Unfortunate music change.
Why are they changing all the people's songs? With the Usos change is the same thing, just it has vocals over it now.
It has vocals over it, which I'll be honest with you, I didn't pay attention enough to like recognize that. I don't know why. Oh, I remember why. Because I left after the Cena open. And then I watched the Usos back the next day, like in the morning before I did the show. And I think I probably fast-forwarded through their entrance. So that's why I didn't realize they had lyrics.
I think it was the second week they had the changed music. But anyway,
pretty
much everybody else has had new music lately.
Yeah.
It's not been good.
No, it hasn't. I really like Baron Corbin's theme music
in
the
great.
First place. Tony Nese's theme music is such a face theme music.
It really is.
It's very, I'm like, this is a cool song.
It's uplifting.
It's uplifting. Yeah. No, it is. And I was like, man, like that is not the theme music of a heel, but I really like it.
Yeah, it's so pretty good.
And I'm a huge fan of Tony Nese, man. I think he's, in terms of his character, his in-ring character, his on top of the, you know, at the head of the ramp character, I freaking love Tony Nese, man.
I still feel like in the ring we're seeing a small fraction of what he can really do.
I think you're probably right about that. I haven't gone back and watched any of his like pre-205 Live, pre-Cruiserweight classic matches.
I haven't either. But every once in a while he'll bust out a move that he doesn't do, that'll make you go, whoa.
I like the crunches in the corner.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's
good
cool.
Character work.
Anyways, Tony Nese came down to take on Cedric Alexander. I love that they give Tony, it's like they say, Tony, take as much time as you want at the top of the ramp and just talk about your body a lot.
Yeah.
Because he's up there forever, but it's always entertaining. Anyways, a decent match. The Toronto crowd, I think at one point, was really getting on my nerves. Because I think they started chanting boring.
Yeah, at least one person in the front row. I was watching my iPad with
headphones. Was it the dude with the Cena suck shirt?
No. Well, I don't know if it was him. I think the guy had his hat on backwards.
Yeah, it was a red hat.
I think so, maybe.
Okay, I think it was that guy. He had a Roman sucks shirt on in the same spot like the night before.
Oh, okay.
So good for you, buddy. Anyways, no, this is a fun match though. There's some cool stuff going on. Tony Nese is great whenever he like jumps out onto the floor. Mm-hmm. He always does all sorts of crazy stuff going out mm-hmm. there. Like, he doesn't look like the guy who should be doing like flippy stuff.
But he can.
He can, and he does.
He busted out a moonsault during mm-hmm. a match a few weeks back.
Yeah. Cedric Alexander, speaking of a moonsault, I think he dropped one to the outside on Tony Nese, or did some crazy crap yeah. on the outside. But anyways, Tony Nese ended up winning with a roll-up with a handful of tights.
Yep.
So I like this feud. I like these two together. I hope they continue to do whatever they're doing.
Yeah. It's been entertaining so far.
And I like that Cedric was doing giving some attitude in the ring, yeah. too. He wasn't just straight-up babyface. He was, like, flexing his own guns.
Yeah, yeah. He was posing and, mm-hmm. and mocking yeah. Tony Nese a bit.
Yeah. This is good stuff. Next up, we had a Brian Kendrick interview where he was it's kind of obvious that Brian Kendrick is kind of, with good reason, I think, not really feeling this feud.
Yeah.
Because even he's getting kind of lost with his reasoning.
Yeah, I know. And it just seems like the one directive he's getting from creative is call Jack Gallagher a clown.
Yeah.
So because I thought the first part of this interview wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But then he had to circle back around and calling Jack Gallagher a clown. I'm like,
yeah.
why?
Yeah.
It seems so unnecessary. It seems shoehorned in.
Yeah. Then Jack Gallagher friggin' waylays him.
Yeah.
Like annihilated him. Started beating on him. And then
so we have mean Jack Gallagher now.
You know how I know he's mean? He wears leather gloves without the fingers.
Yes.
Like the fingers are missing.
Yes.
Anyways. So there was that. The return of Noam Dar versus a guy named Mark Thomas.
And Noam Dar, before the match, got on the mic and was saying, I remember you. I used to watch you wrestle...
when I was a kid.
A kid.
Yeah.
And then he started talking about how he, Noam Dar, at 24, is now a major star in WWE, whereas Mark Thomas, who's been in the industry for 20-something years...
He said, for me, this is just another match. But for you, this is like a big opportunity for you, isn't it? That was funny.
Yeah.
I really liked this promo. I thought it was great. Poor Mark Thomas. And he just sat there and had to eat it.
I know.
And he got like the initial flurry of offense. I was really hoping that like either he would... I didn't expect him to pull off a win, but as soon as the bell rang, Noam Dar was still taking off his jacket. I was hoping this guy would start laying in a Noam Dar, and then Noam Dar could turn around, but it didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
But anyways, Mark Thomas got his licks in, but Noam Dar ended up going over with a nasty-looking kick.
Yeah. It's sort of like a running enziguri.
Yeah. Is that like his usual finish?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's like the super something or another?
Supernova something?
Is it the Supernova something? I don't know. Anyways, I love Noam Dar.
Yeah, he's great.
This is a big opportunity for you. It doesn't sound anything like Noam Dar.
No.
I can't do Noam Dar yet. But I freaking love him. And that accent cracks me up. He's such a turd. Anyways, next up, Corey Graves was in the middle of the ring, sitting down, set to interview Akira Tozawa.
So Corey Graves' shirt he was wearing on 205 Live was roughly the same color of shirt I had.
Yeah, it was pretty obnoxious. I remember looking at him and thinking, he looks like an asshole. And then I get on, and then I look at my text message, and I'm
and
like...
And accidentally, I sent hey, us some pictures from my wife's phone myself, but I accidentally pressed... Yeah, the text thread I had with you.
You're so used to it. I know. Thank God.
I know. I'm not used.
Thank God you weren't texting.
I'm not used to texting myself.
I know. Thank God you weren't texting yourself pictures of your dingus. Did you go on a nude beach? I told everybody you'd be going on a nude beach.
I did find out there is a nude beach on the island, though.
Yeah.
But I did not go on it.
That's a bummer. You should have.
No.
Because it's not, you have to be nude. It's nude optional, I would assume. Like, you can wear a sock on your dick.
I'm not going to go on a nude beach.
Even with a sock on your dick?
Yes, I'm not going to do it.
La, la.
I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to do la, la.
No.
That's a bummer.
Anyways, Corey Graves interviews Akira Tozawa.
I would. Fluff myself first. Walk out with a full erection.
How awkward would that be, though?
Oh, super. Are you kidding me? Be weird.
Yes.
Anyways, let's see here. But that's life, man. So he's in there trying to interview Akira Tozawa, and then he's interrupted by Neville. Neville is getting more and more, what's the word? I don't want to say flamboyant, but like...
He's getting a little more over the top.
He's not just brooding now, and I love it.
His
little facial movements are hilarious.
Yeah, he's much more... There's a lot more arrogance about him.
And he's like a Bond villain at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so he does a lot of subtle mocking of people.
Yeah,
but it's pretty subtle. Like, someone will say something, his reaction will be, he'll do like an eye roll.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Like, why are you even bothering? I'm the king of the cruiserweights.
It's crazy because it's like, he was so good when he originally started out as a heel. Now that he's actually comfortable doing that, he's got all this room to improvise as well. So it's just making things better. the most messed up line, and I don't know if an American could get away with this, but the fact that Neville is British and he has a very thick Geordie accent, I think lets him get away with when he said, he says, I was just trying to spare these people. You trying to speak English. That was fucked up. I don't think like an American would be allowed to say that. But anyways, so yeah. And then Tozawa, he got on the mic. He says, let me ask you a question. And he said, how are you going to feel when I take your title away from you at SummerSlam? Crowd went, dang. And then Neville tried to attack Akira Tozawa, but he saw it coming and he retaliated.
And he went to the top rope to try to do the top rope senton.
Yeah.
Neville rolled out of the ring.
Yeah, crowd booed.
That'll be a good match. I'm looking forward to that one.
It was good. Because wasn't Corey Graves and Neville, they were tag team champions in NXT.
Yes.
Okay. I wish they would reference that a little bit more, but Neville did kind of say, for as long as you've known me, something. And the main event, we had Rich Swann versus TJP to kind of further their whole, we're friends, this is a friendly competition, but we all know TJP is like a raging asshole.
Yeah.
And so we kind of figured this would happen.
I didn't catch the finish of this because I was watching on my iPad and it kept freezing.
TJP had, for some reason, he had Rich Swann up on his shoulders, probably to do a one-winged angel, probably not.
What do you mean?
Man, I watched that Omega Evil finish. You hear about that?
I heard Evil got hurt.
I know we're talking about G1 now. I just watched this morning. I'll show it to you later on. Omega hit him with it was a gnarly match, but at the finish, Omega hit him with a V-trigger. Knocked him loopy. Knocked Evil out. So he was out. Omega, you could tell. You could totally tell. He was just because, like, Evil wasn't getting up, and he sort of, like, got up a little bit. And Omega was doing a really good job of trying to, like, get him up, make it look like he was trying to get him up, but also look like he was really spent so he couldn't do it. But in actuality, you can tell he was just trying to protect the guy and let him stay right there. And so he finally rolled him over and was able to get a pin, but it was just dead weight. And freaking Red Shoes, like, said, no, rope break. And Omega was like, okay. And so, like, he basically stalled a bunch, made it look like he was trying to get some offense in on Evil as Evil sort of
came to somewhat,
got to his feet, and then Kenny Omega had to get him up into a one-winged angel, dead weight.
Wow.
It was crazy. And then you could see, like, he cradled him as much as he could and dropped it on him and then went for the pin, and then, you know, all the refs come in and stuff, or the trainers, whatever, come in.
Wow.
But, I mean, hats off to Kenny for doing what he could, but Red Shoe should have been like, eh. So, anyways, TJP had Rich Swann, who was completely conscious, up in a up on his shoulders, and then he did a backdrop, and Rich Swann hit his head, the back of his head up against the turnbuckle.
Oh.
And so he was out for a bit. That led TJP to get the, what is it called, detonation kick?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he got the win. And then afterwards, he was just completely, like, rubbing it in his face. Like, just getting it, just dabbing left and
dabbing
right.
Dabbing all over the
place. You're crap. You're garbage. Look at me. I'm the best. And then it goes backstage, and it goes even further. Rich Swann's walking, and he's all pissed off. One funny part. Made me think, because I know they're buddies. Like, how did Rich Swann didn't laugh? Because at the very end, like, TJP was, like, walking with Rich Swann up the ramp the entire time, just giving him shit, right? Just talking. And Rich Swann was just downplaying it, saying, all right, whatever. And then TJP, like, put the car in the drive and, like, drove off the way Rich Swann does. And I'm like, how did Rich Swann not just crack up? Because that was hilarious. Anyways, TJP finds Rich Swann afterwards and says, hey, what's going on? What are you, a sore loser? And Rich Swann says, no. He said, I'm not. He says, it's what you were doing afterwards that, you know, bug me. And TJP said, come on, man, you know me. And Rich Swann said something like, I'm getting to know who you really are. And then walks off. And ooh. TJP's like, that was good. I'm going to do that to you one day. I'm going to get in the car and drive off. Anyways, next up, we had NXT. Did I like NXT? Yeah, I liked NXT. Oh, yeah. I loved NXT.
Yeah.
Because we got my two new favorite tag teams ever. The Metro Brothers and the Street Profits.
Oh, Street Profits are fantastic.
Montez Ford is amazing.
Yes.
He's great. That guy is like athletic without even trying.
Yes.
Isn't that weird? Like he just like jumps as sort of a joke, but he gets like 6 feet up in the air. It's awesome. And he looks great.
He's got a ton of charisma.
Let's kick it off with Sanity and the Authors of Pain. So wait, why were the Authors of... How did this kick off? Oh,
Nikki Cross showed up in the ring while the commentary team were still starting the show.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy comes out. I don't think they say anything.
Yeah,
Authors of Pain just come out.
Yeah.
And as Authors of Pain are coming out, Eric Young intercepts Rezar, starts attacking him, and then zip ties him to one of the guardrails.
Yeah.
At that point, Akam's already in the ring, so the rest of Sandy is beating him up.
Beating the crap out of him. Rezar, like still tied to the barrier, like starts dragging the barrier with him. But as soon as he gets in, I don't know what his plan was, because as soon as he gets in,
he gets attacked.
He's held down by the barrier, can't do anything. He gets attacked. So they stand strong. They stand with the titles, everybody all in a big line. So that was cool. That's been a decent build for these guys.
Yeah.
Next up, we had the iconic duo of Peyton Royce and Billy Kay in another one of my favorite iPhone video series.
They were going to shoot a video about makeup tips.
Give me a makeup tutorial. Those things are all the rage these days on YouTube. We got in the wrong business.
We did.
Anyways, they see Ruby Riott milling about back behind them. She like walks the other direction as they talk crap about her. It was actually kind of funny.
It was.
Yeah.
Next, we had, as you said, the Metro Brothers, JC and Chris.
I want to say Chris, yeah.
Versus the debuting Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford.
Before we get into the Street Profits, number one, I know which one is the Marty Jannetty of that group. But number two, let's talk about the Metro Brothers really quick.
They said they were students of the Dudley's wrestling school.
Okay, great. Good. What is with the 50s Marlon Brando? What was that movie, the Beat movie that he was in? No, like the where they're all like
The Wild One.
The Wild One,
I think.
Is that what it was?
Where he was a biker, right?
Yeah, he was a biker.
But he had the leather jacket, the white t-shirt, the jeans.
Right,
yeah,
right. I mean, you could also look at Grease.
Yeah.
West Side Story, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe, probably. Do they have leather jackets in West Side Story?
James Dean in Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah, but he wore like a red jacket.
Oh, that's true.
Same, but you know, so these are more toughs.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe like James Dean's antagonists. Because he always fought toughs.
That's true.
Anyways, these are 50s street toughs. Now, I know there's like sort of a subculture of rockabilly that exists in this day and age. I mean, there's a subculture for everything. There's a subculture for people like to, you know, do weird things with feet. But there's also rockabilly. And these guys are rockabilly looking guys.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't have like their cigarettes rolled up in their sleeves.
I know. I thought that too.
But
if this were mid-90s WCW exactly. And the Giant was smoking all over the place,
yeah,
they would have.
So anyways, Metro Brothers. WWE did like Deuce and Domino back in the day. I kind of feel like they need to get past that.
Yeah.
Like, is this Vince just saying,
well, my question, I wonder if this is the Metro Brothers gimmick outside of NXT? Are they developmental?
I haven't found anything. I think
wrestlers?
They're developmental. I haven't found anything about them. I looked them up last night.
Okay.
Couldn't find anything about them beforehand. So it's not like these guys are coming in. These guys weren't like prospects in the Ring of Honor prospect, you know.
Tournament.
Yeah. Yes. But anyways, they took on the debuting on TV Street Profits. Now, we've seen Angelo Dawkins before. We had never really seen Montez Ford before. I love Angelo Dawkins. I think he's great. But it's really obvious that, number one, Montez Ford, he's only, I think, 27 years old. So he's a young dude. He's a really handsome guy, obviously chock full of charisma. If he stays on the right path, I think that he can do anything.
Yeah.
I really do. I didn't catch how big he was in terms of how tall, because sometimes that can make a difference.
Angelo Dawkins seems like he's pretty tall.
I think he's probably a tall guy. Didn't say. Well, I think he's tall. He looks tall here.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look like a short guy.
Mm-mm.
But how great is that? They got the solo cups.
Oh, I know. It's great.
He looks like $1 million.
Everything they've been doing with them so far seems like it's thought out and well done.
Yeah. He joined in 2015 after impressing in a tryout. Man, that's fantastic. Oh, he was a Marine.
Oh.
Nice. Right on. Anyways, they were fantastic. They put on a hell of a show.
They made really quick work of the Metro Brothers.
I was just really impressed with Montez Ford. Like, all of his movements were very crisp.
Yeah. His frog splash looked great.
Yeah, it really did. He had a really, really good ring presence. So, and I like that they have matching gear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that. Not matching, but color-wise, thematically speaking.
Yes.
And I love the solo cup. Who doesn't love a solo cup?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Montez Ford picked up the pin, pinning JC Metro after an awesome-looking frog splash.
Street toughs. Moving on. Aleister Black and Hideo Tommy.
Yeah, they showed a video of what happened last week.
Hideo Tommy keeps trying to attack Aleister Black, and he just keeps on getting jacked.
Yeah, it was weird seeing Aleister in a suit.
Yeah, I know. It was rad. Made me like him even more. It was cool. He shouldn't wrestle in that, though. Guy already does that. Low Key does that.
Yes.
I was reading up on a little bit on Low Key because he was talking about his time in New Japan. How New Japan, according to him, New Japan threatened him with a year-long suspension because he didn't want to perform. They had like a show at Fukushima? Where was the place that had the nuclear plant meltdown thing? And he was scared about the radioactivity there. And they said, no, it's fine. You need to wrestle. And he says, I don't want to. And they said, we're going to suspend you for a year. And he says, I'm just not going to re-sign then. And so he left. And I guess in his last match is the first time he wrestled in a suit. He didn't tell anybody in advance that he was going to do that. That infuriated New Japan. So apparently the bad blood between them is so deep. This is from Wrestling Observer. That New Japan is open to bringing anybody back except for him. He's the only guy in their shit list.
Wow.
No Low Key.
Wow.
So he's in GFW right now. Oh, man. Anyways. Hey, that GFW review I did got like, I don't know.
I saw.
11,000 views.
You almost got New Japan numbers.
I know. My goodness.
So anyways, this video happened with Aleister Black and Hideo Itami brawling. Is it backstage or is it in the parking lot?
It was outside. It was the parking lot.
And it was announced that we'll get Hideo Itami versus Aleister Black at TakeOver Brooklyn 3.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
That's going to be a really good match. And Hideo Itami's totally going to lose it.
Oh, yes.
Big black mask right to the face.
Yes.
It's going to be great. So anyways, then we had Drew McIntyre. He came down looking. Man, that dude, he's got like the tiniest waist and the biggest upper body. It's crazy. He literally looks like he grew like 5 inches from his previous tenure.
Oh, I know.
And his upper body is like double the size that it was before. It's so insane. Huge. Anyways, he gets in the ring. He really looks like a cartoon. Bobby Roode comes out. Our friend O'Karen gives him the big thumbs down. And
Bobby Roode was great during this whole segment.
Oh, he was fantastic.
He was so good.
Manipulating the scene. Because what's his face?
Roderick Strong comes down.
Yeah, I know. William Regal was in there.
Yeah, Regal was in there.
And he always looks like he's just exacerbated
the
entire time with everything.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're talking about it. They got a match. And then, yeah, like you said, Roderick Strong comes down and he says, Regal, I know you said I'm not supposed to be out here, but he said rude things about my fiance and my little weird kid and me and my family. So I have to do this if I'm going to be a man.
He said, I don't care about the NXT title. I just want Bobby Roode.
Yeah. And Regal says, "But Roderick Strong is already a match made of TakeOver.
Says, I can't help you.
Go away." Roderick Strong says, "I want a match." And then Bobby Roode says, "You want a match? Fine. I'll even put up my title after TakeOver, but you have to fight Drew McIntyre." And Regal says, "Bobby Roode, I make the matches around here, not you." And then
everybody starts screaming at Regal, "Make the match!"
Yeah, everybody piles in, and everybody's like, Drew is saying it, the crowd is saying it, Bobby's saying it. Bobby's like, "Come on, isn't this our NXT? Look at the NXT, the people he's running down. Look at them; they all want this to happen." Bobby, I know what you're doing; it's not good. But everybody wants the match.
Why would Drew want the match?
Because Drew's a man, and he's like, "I don't want to fight. I'm going to show everybody that I can fight."
But why would? I understand. Okay.
Is this match going to happen? Oh, yeah, it's going to happen next week. That's right.
Are there
spoilers on that? Shit already took place, didn't it?
Yeah, it took place already. But, put that aside.
Yeah.
That match on TV happens 4 days.
Alex C in chat says, "I portray Roddy like he's Morty."
That match takes place 4 days before TakeOver. I mean, like Drew said, okay, I'll do it. Let's do it the week after TakeOver.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. Exactly. Let's do it after the tapings. Let's do it then.
Yeah.
But no, he's a man. He's like, listen, here's the thing. We're filming this like 2 months out, so I'm good. I can rest there. Like, nobody actually thinks this shit's actually happening.
Oh, I know.
Two days or 3 days before TakeOver. So anyways, that match is going to happen. I hope they, I have no idea what that, like, I didn't look at the spoilers. I hope they make Roderick look strong, though. So that totally was not. I did not. Oh!
So, yeah, that happens next week. After that, Johnny Gargano with the backstage interview.
Yeah.
Saying that he hasn't missed a takeover since TakeOver Brooklyn last year. He doesn't plan on missing any takeovers from here on out. He wants a match. And that will come into play later.
Yeah, totally.
After that, Oney Lorcan versus Danny Burch.
Dude, this has to be a tag team. This has to be a tag team.
The ingredients are all in place for them to start a tag team.
Oh, my gosh, this has to be a tag team. I don't know who's listening to this. Get this started. Hashtag Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch should be a tag team.
It's a long hashtag, though.
Well, give me a better one. Tag team Oney Burch. Biatch. Anyways, this is another great match. I cannot watch these guys enough. We're going to NXT. What is it, Saturday?
Yeah.
Is that happening this Saturday?
Yeah.
Nice. What are our? Did you get our tickets?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we get the $40 ones?
I don't remember. They're not on the floor.
Okay. I think we have the $40 ones.
So I think we're.
Or did we get the $20 ones?
I think we might get the $20 ones.
Okay. Nice. So,
but we're not high up. We're on the lower level.
Right.
Not that far. I think we're 3 rows back from the floor or something like that.
Okay. Whatever. Are we on a?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. That's all I care about.
Yes.
I don't want to be on the floor all the way back.
Yes. I know.
I'd rather be up and back a little bit.
If it's not the first 3 rows on the floor. Then give me grandstand.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do Mania. I'm just not going to do it on the field if I'm 5 rows or back anymore.
We're so spoiled.
It's so useless.
We're so spoiled.
Though. It's so useless.
We're so spoiled with seats because we've been to had so many good seats at so many good shows.
Yeah, but even if I hadn't, I'd still be like bummed out about those seats because, man, they were so far back and I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, the sight lines weren't good. I know.
I mean, it's not your fault. I'm not blaming you.
No, I know.
I was fully in
I'm just saying,
on
it didn't,
those tickets.
It didn't help the night before that we were second row at NXT.
Oh, my God, I know. And, like, Wale was buying us beers and shit. That was rad. Anyways. Yeah, Oney Lorcan versus Danny Burch. Great match. Again, stiff Oney Lorcan by the end of it. Had, like, blood coming from a weird spot on his neck.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, right here.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, yeah. It was down there. And then at the but this time Danny Burch went over.
Yeah, Oney Lorcan was trying to put Burch in the crab, Boston Crab,
mm-hmm.
and Danny Burch kept fighting it off. There's that great spot where Lorcan was trying to do it and stomped on Danny Burch's head.
Oh, it's great.
And then Burch responded with some more kicks.
Yeah.
But anyways, Burch reversed the crab attempt into a pinning attempt of his own and won.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching it. I didn't have headphones, and I was watching it while I was actually on. Hold trying to find out where my luggage was.
Yeah.
And the finish happened. I was kind of confused because I didn't notice the ref, like, didn't seem like a conclusive 3 count.
Right.
But then Burch rose his hands in victory, and I was like, oh, I guess he won.
Nice.
You weren't even paying attention to me.
Burch won.
Yeah, Burch did win.
No, I know. It was great. And then they shook hands, like, Oney Lorcan, very disappointed himself afterwards, and Danny Burch kept on saying, what's your problem, boy? What's your problem?
Well, Burch extended his hand. Lorcan approached him,
yeah.
Hit the hand out of the way, turned to leave the ring, then came back in.
Did this out of my face.
Extended his hand himself.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
They shook hands. They were poking each other in the chest.
Yeah.
Talking very very animated.
Yeah.
And then Lorcan turns to leave the ring. Burch stops him, you know, opens the ropes for him so Lorcan get out. So there's without a doubt respect between these two competitors, leading, I'm sure, to a tag team.
Well, I think is the tag team going to happen after their
blow-off match?
They have to have a blow-off at TakeOver, right? Like in the pre-show.
Oh, that'd
at least.
Be cool.
Are they going to have a pre-show at TakeOver?
They
do
they shoot stuff for the next week's television.
Oh, that's always goofy when they do that. I forgot about that.
And the next week's television is always pretty light.
So next week's television should be pretty good.
And then the week after that is going to be half TakeOver recaps.
It's going to be 75%. They got to figure that one out. Anyways, moving along.
Main event, I didn't get a chance to see it because we had to leave. So fill me in.
It was okay, so this was just the story of Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina, what's her name?
Zelina Vega.
Thea Trinidad. Thea Trinidad.
Yeah.
What do they call her?
Zelina Vega.
Zelina Vega. What a great name. Not as good as Thea Trinidad. But anyways, she is Andrade Almas's associate. So she's like his advocate, I think. There doesn't seem to be anything romantic going on with him.
Yeah.
She's just there looking out for his best interests. She was yelling at him when he would do Tranquilo, which bummed me out.
Yeah.
Because I love Tranquilo.
Yeah, Tranquilo's great.
Exactly. But anyways.
But if that is a symptom of an issue that is keeping him from being successful in the ring.
Right.
Then maybe it has to go.
And that's what this was. He got the win over No Way Jose by sticking to a plan, by focusing, and not being Tranquilo.
Maybe he needs to compartmentalize better.
Yeah.
In the ring. No Tranquilo.
That's the point.
Out of the ring, Tranquilo all you want.
Exactly. So this match didn't last nearly as long as No Way Jose's ridiculous entrance. But yeah, Andrade almost went over. And then at the end of the match, she went to the commentary team. She scared Percy out of the way. She was like, and he was like, whoa. And then she got on the mic and said, Gargano says he want an opponent. This my man. Andrade Almas. That was not her accent. That was my mom's accent. I did. I say, Steven, she doesn't even talk like that, though. But I say that and she laughs. I give her an accent. that's who I am, people. I even give my mom an accent. Steven, will you come over for my burritos? Of course, Mom. Of course, Mimi. Anyway, so now Thea Trinidad is my mom. She says, my associate, Andre Almas.
Takeover shaping up to be a pretty good card.
They're always good cards. They're always great cards.
I feel like the build-up this one's been better than the last couple
of ones.
I
am just really curious about this whole Roderick Strong thing.
Yes.
I want a match. Give me a match. He said mean things about my family.
Well, he didn't say it in those words. He said disrespected.
Disrespected my weird kid. My weird baby. Anyways.
All right, you want to answer some questions?
Yeah, why not?
Here, you say Eddie Jose's name.
Eddie Jose Guevara Minibus!
Thank you. Did the Authors of Pain just make their face turn? After this feud, how do you think they will be received? Will they continue to be heels or just monsters that are faces? This whole Authors of Pain, Sandy thing seems to transcend heel face. That seems to be the thing.
Yeah, because the thing is...
Like, for example, Eric Young returned last night and got a pop.
Yeah.
But he's supposed to be heel.
People just sort of, they just mark out over the thought. I mean, this is one of the things that just by necessity, it's above heel face because people just mark out over the idea of one weird, crazy team taking on these monsters, something these monsters have never seen before.
Yeah.
You know, the unpredictable. They can't predict what Sanity's going to do.
Yes, the chaotic nature of Sanity.
Yeah, exactly. So they just, you know, but... So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Who are you going to be rooting for? I mean, everybody is going to be rooting for Sanity, right?
I'm going to be rooting for Authors of Pain because if Sanity loses, that means there's a good chance they're going to the main roster. There's nothing left for them to do. If they're not going to get a run with any of the titles.
Yeah, I know.
Send them up to Maine.
Yeah.
They'd be great on Maine. I'm not the real... Oh, you have more to say?
I was going to say, I'm not the real Kenny Omega. Can you guys bring back fast food reviews or anything of that nature?
I don't eat that stuff anymore. I just got off vacation, especially. I cannot eat that stuff right now.
Yeah, the problem... I'm Yeah, probably not. I was thinking of bringing it back for my channel, but like the first one I did, I was so disgusted by the product. It was the Carl's Jr. Hardee's.
Oh, the rib one, huh?
The rib burger. I was like, even if I only take 3 bites of it, why am I wasting?
That's money.
That's like, at what, 300 calories that I've just eaten there? And I mean, the money thing, I don't really care about that because, if, you know, I can make that up and like, I mean, you know, that one video can probably pay for the meal. Maybe.
Maybe.
But yeah, I don't know. I just, nah. We are thinking about doing some more stuff, but this channel is going to be, it's going to stick to wrestling stuff. Yeah.
Jack Dolan, power rank the top 5 cartoons.
Whoa!
You were.
Question.
You were growing up. I guess you watched growing up.
Yeah. But then on the playground, I was a member of Voltron.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh, Voltron was good.
Do you remember, let me ask this, do you remember any like playing on the playground, like role playing?
Of course.
Like what? Do you remember specifically?
Usually G.I. Joes.
Oh, really? See, yeah. I never role played that because I didn't watch that show.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I don't know why not.
Everybody wanted to be Snake Eyes because he was the coolest looking
character. Oh, he was the coolest guy. I like the guy whose face turned. Was Zartan?
Yeah.
Didn't he let his face turn?
He put the toy in hot water. Yeah.
And then who had like the thing? Oh, maybe that was Transformers. Was that Transformers or G.I. Joe? That would like, it was Autobot. No, now it was Decepticon. I think you rub it.
Oh, yeah. It would change because of the heat you put on it.
So G.I. Joe's not in the top five for me. Probably for you, though, right?
Maybe.
You know what my number one is?
Mask.
Holy shit.
All right, you do your top five. I'll do mine.
All right. Okay, number five is really obscure. I don't think anybody's going to know this. Do you remember Starcom?
Vaguely.
It has to be super vague. For whatever reason,
remember the name.
For whatever reason, it was kind of big-ish in England, but I think mainly like just okay. So I remember one time going to like I grew up like for 4 years, but bulk of my childhood when you do that stuff was in England, and I remember going to like the U.S. Air Force base that we lived on, like the shop they had. We went and like there was like an entire giant wall section of all Starcom. And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, they had a cartoon, but it wasn't like popular. It wasn't even as popular as Mask, which wasn't like overwhelmingly popular. It wasn't even on the level of like GoBots,
yeah,
which is like a crappy version of Transformers.
Yeah.
But I loved it because like the ships were so cool, and like they had these like magnetic mechanisms and stuff. You like hit it, but as far as I remember, the story only had to deal with like shipping and receiving. Like it was in outer space, but I don't remember there being any like battles being fought. There was like a lot of crates that you'd be like carrying around and stuff. But then there were troops. There were bad guys.
Doesn't sound entertaining at all.
Five, Starcom.
Okay.
Four. Okay, so it's gonna go. One is Mask. Two is Two, I guess, would be Transformers. Three would be He-Man. Five is still Starcom. And four, you give your five.
Okay, maybe one for me is G.I. Joe. Yeah. I used to watch that all the time. It's probably the most, of all the brands, the most toys I had.
Okay.
G.I. Joe. Two was Voltron.
Four is Voltron.
I had the giant put-together lion toy.
Yeah, that's great.
That was a great toy. Three, Muppet Babies. Babies was brilliant.
Yeah, Muppet Babies was great. I would never want to cosplay them, I never want to roleplay them. And I never wanted to like be them, but they were very funny.
Yeah, I agree with that last part. But it was a really good show.
Yeah, it was a really good show.
That's why I'm describing the shows.
Very funny.
If this is, you know, like the role playing stuff, it's a different list. This is the shows.
It says cartoons that you were.
I'd assume that's a typo.
Don't assume anything. It's Jack Nolan.
No, it's top five cartoons when you were growing up. When you were growing up.
Oh, I thought you said when you were, and then growing up.
No, when you were growing up.
Okay.
So three Muppet Babies, four.
Not a big He-Man guy?
I'll say He-Man.
Okay.
That was on the afternoon.
Yeah, it was good.
And then five, Spider-Man is Amazing Friends. It's on Saturday mornings.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it's funny because growing up, I had like a lot of Spider-Man stuff. But then for some reason, I never feel like I had like a childhood connection to it. I don't know why. Oh, and then like when I was a little bit older, like the X-Men cartoon from like 92.
Yeah.
Ba-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, they had a great theme.
Yeah.
Next from Alex Foster. Hope you enjoyed yourself, Larson. I had a good vacation. Thank you. What wrestlers would be the best to go on vacation with? It depends on the nature of your vacation.
Okay.
Like if you go to Ibiza.
Yeah.
Mojo.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. If you go to, let's say you go to like an extreme vacation, like you're going to go to volcanoes and like extreme locations, who'd you take? Say like Shinsuke. If you're going to go surfing, take Shinsuke because he surfs.
Yeah.
But like volcanoes. Are there vacations you can go to volcanoes?
I'm sure you can go someplace.
Active volcanoes?
Well, I don't know if that's the best idea. But I'm sure.
Have you heard about all the people this year have like fallen into like hot springs, jacking around hot springs? There was that one lady who like saw her brother like go into a friggin' hot spring and melt away. Oh my God.
That's horrifying.
That's devastating.
That's awful.
Yeah. Don't do that.
No, don't do that. Trying to think of anything else. I mean, Mojo, pretty much.
What about like, what if you're going to visit, I'm trying to think of there's like a million different vacation ideas that we can come up with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why am I drawing a blank on any?
Like
of
if
them?
You want to go, say you want to do a backpacking excursion across Europe.
Well, yeah.
Who would like Cesaro?
Oh,
he
yeah,
speaks
there
several
you go.
Languages.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. Cesaro. All right, good answers. Nate Morris, if Neville does retain at SummerSlam, Neville? This is 205 Live. If Neville does retain at SummerSlam, who's next? Nobody. He's retaining at SummerSlam. No, I'm sorry. He's losing it at SummerSlam.
Yeah, probably. But yeah. If he is, I would say...
There's no like heir apparent.
I would say either Cedric or Mustafa Ali would have to be next in line.
Yeah, but they're... I mean, I don't consider them like close. But
no,
I mean,
I don't
it's 205 Live. They could totally like, you know, they could totally book that off the cuff.
JT, hey, friend. Those power rank the wrestlers who had the most it factor. One list of past and one of today's wrestlers. I mean, Bobby Roode has to be number one. He calls himself the it factor.
Yeah, that's fine. You know what always... Okay, so the it factor, right? We're talking about guys like Austin,
like
Hogan,
Nakamura,
Cena. They just have that. It's natural charisma
yeah.
that you can't really explain. It's just charisma. You know who... obviously had it, but I to this day I still don't really get it. Hogan.
I know.
I still don't understand. You watch Sold Out yet?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
When are we gonna review that?
We'll do that tomorrow.
Okay, all right. The end is great. I want to load up the end for you after this and so you can watch it. It's the best celebration I've seen in my life. Anyways, I never understood Hogan's it factor. Like somebody asked Dave Meltzer on his Twitter,
yeah,
when did you know Hogan was going to be a big star? And he says, as soon as I saw him debut as Terry Bolder, I knew he was going to be big. And I'm like, really? What was the it factor with Hogan? I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think it's a situation where
he's really weird.
I know.
You know?
He's not smooth in any capacity. He's not smooth on the mic. He's not smooth in
right?
the ring.
Right?
There's nothing that, for me, that ever jumped out about him that was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. All I could say is like he was never captivating in the way like Austin. I could watch Austin talk. And the funny thing is, it wasn't even like WCW Austin, although it was kind of there. But once he became Stone Cold and he had those crazy, like the locked in eyes.
Piercing eyes, yeah.
You could listen to him talk all the time. The Rock, you could listen to him talk all the time.
Yeah.
Hogan, I never got it. I never, like...
It is a thing, you know, growing up, he was such the focus of their programming
mm-hmm.
that, you know, much to how they're trying to do that with Reigns today.
Yeah.
But back then, you know, times were different.
Yeah.
I guess wrestling fans would be far more accepting of someone just being pushed to that extent.
Right.
And so he's such a centerpiece of the programming. It was just like, okay, well, he's here, so...
Yeah. No, that was the thing that got me about Hogan is that, like, you know, when we started watching in college, I bought in on Hogan because it was kind of goofy, for one thing, but also because I understood his lore. I understood his legacy.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it, too. It's for so long we've heard that he was, you know, the most charismatic right. star of the 80s.
And all that he had done. Like,
yeah.
If I'm going to buy into this wrestling thing, I'm going to buy into the fact that his leg drop is devastating.
Yeah.
You know, it's goofy.
But then
you just buy
you
into
know,
it.
If during the 80s, when we were watching WWF, if we had known that NWA was on TV, mm-hmm. we could have seen Ric Flair in
who
his prime.
Who actually has
tons of charisma.
Like, huge boatloads of charisma.
Then maybe we would have been like, I mean, the opinion that we share about Hogan now might have been amplified a
maybe.
Lot.
I mean, he did kind of have crazy eyes. Like, when you go back and look at those old promos, he had, like, his eyes were, like, very intense.
Who, Flair or Hogan?
Hogan.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. It's just weird.
But though. So much of what he did was so, seemed like such part of a routine.
Yeah, I know.
That nothing ever seemed like it was spurred by any sort of organic, spurred by anything organic. Sorry.
Right. Here's a tough question. Tommy T says, out of all of them so far, power rank the five best NXT champions. Let's take away what they did after their
yes.
championships
yes.
as NXT champions.
We get to have Finn Balor number one, as long as reigning NXT champion.
There you go.
Or, hold on, Asuka number one.
Oh, yeah.
Asuka number one.
Asuka number one.
I don't
one.
Think anybody's ever dominated their division like Asuka has
Nobody,
in NXT.
Yeah, I agree.
Then number
that.
Two is Finn.
Number two, Finn.
Three...
I'm going to say this, even though it wasn't necessarily long, but Kevin Owens.
I was going to say him, too.
Because he brought it over. He, like, He's the guy who went to Maine and said, this is the prize.
Yeah, not the U.S. title.
Not that. Yep. The U.S. title. This is the prize.
Yeah, Kevin Owens.
I'm going to say number three, Kevin Owens.
I think I could be wrong about this, that Neville held the title, had the longest reign before Finn Balor.
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't know. I haven't seen the work. I haven't seen it back then. But, I mean, I'm willing to put him up there in the top
four. Five.
I would probably say Shinsuke at five.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was such an interesting time for NXT when people started considering it to be, you know, a brand unto itself.
Yeah.
The fact that he was there for as long as he was.
I know.
And had such a great feud with Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of power ranking questions today.
Double T. Power rank the best pure heels in the business. And he says, people who legitimately can get heat on themselves, like Miz or Kevin Owens, not just be kind of mean like most other heels.
Bobby Roode has to be on there.
Yeah, Bobby Roode. Miz is a good one, but people are starting to really like Miz.
Kevin Owens is, I know he can get that kind of heat,
mm-hmm.
but it's a situation where he's done so much entertaining work in the past.
Yeah, I know.
Like the line on SmackDown about Canada.
That was great.
Or about Bret Hart.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, traditionally speaking, that's a great heel line.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
It's very good. It's a really damn good line.
Authors of Pain.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. If you book them in with somebody who you really, really like, and they just like...
Well, that's why the feud with DIY was perfect.
Yeah, I know. I know. Speaking of which, I wonder how big of a heel Ciampa's going to be when he comes back.
Oh, I hope massive, because he can pull it off.
Yeah, I know. Okay, let's see here. Tommy the Nature Cat asks, what are the odds Rude loses the title to McIntyre and faces Roddy without the belt?
I wonder if they're trying to plant that idea in people's heads when Roddy made a point of saying,
doesn't matter about
I don't
the
care about the belt.
Belt
I just want I just want to fight you.
Yeah.
I don't know, I have a hard time believing that McIntyre is going to leave TakeOver with the championship.
At this point, for me, it's kind of like 50-50. I feel like the belt might need to switch hands a little bit. Like, you got so many people over there, it needs to go around a little bit.
It's kind of the same situation that they have with Asuka, though, too, is that no one exactly feels like they're on the precipice of taking that next step.
Yeah, but I kind of
feel... It's not quite to the degree it is with Asuka.
It's not nearly to the degree, because it's Asuka and everybody else. Like, I see, I mean, Ember Moon, they could go with her, but I don't really see her any different than Ruby Riott, Nikki Cross. With Bobby... I think Drew absolutely could do it.
Oh yeah, he could. I just don't see it happen.
But I see him. I could see it.
If this were 3 months from now,
yeah,
I would say yeah.
Yeah.
But Drew just came back 4 months ago. This seems a little quick. But
we'll do like a predictions like thing on that, and I'll go with I'm comfortable going with the Drew.
Okay, we'll do our trick. Our takeover predictions next week on our NXT recap.
That'll work.
Dale Lockwood. Good to see Eric Young back. Agreed. Missed Aleister Black, though, this week. He was there a little bit. Do you think Vince actually watches NXT or 205 Live? Or does he get reports on him like he does with Talking Smack? Or did? I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't watch either of them.
I wouldn't be surprised either. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't watch either one. He's got a lot going on.
Yes.
You know.
I have a feeling that so much of his time is focused to strictly the business side of things.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's getting up there in age, and that might be why he stepped back from traveling so much, but part of him just might be the demands of, you know, all the other aspects of his job.
Right, right. Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know.
Anyways, that's it for questions.
So that's it for the show, then.
That's it for the show. We got nothing else. Anyways, thank you for coming back. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure thing.
I'm glad you didn't die.
Well, so I tried to take necessary precautions to prevent that.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't swim too far out in the ocean.
Oh, dangerous.
Didn't do that.
Did you carry like a mace with you the entire time?
No.
Murders?
Nope.
Did you know any murders happened while you were there?
Nope.
Could have been you.
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't.
So you should be happy about that.
I got lucky.
Otherwise, you had to do the show by yourself every day.
Yeah, but you know what? I'd bring in, I would have like brought in Ulysses, undercut the crap out of him. Ulysses, you get 10% of my revenue. 5% of the Patreon.
That's terrible.
He'd take it.
You don't know that.
I don't want him in my office. He'd have to Skype in. I'd put him in an apartment down the street, but he'd Skype in. Yeah, totally.
It doesn't sound like it'd be much fun working for you.
No, probably not, but it's better than doing anything else. Anyways, that's it for now. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.